Good evening. Welcome to Leicester Fan TV. My name is Phil. It's Monday night. It's 7:30. It's the Fan Zone show. As ever, there's no football at the moment for the past couple of weeks. We did play the Esports FA Cup, myself and Chappers, on Saturday, where we saw Leicester City beat Chelsea 4-2, just like it would have happened in real life. So that was pleasing. We could have a little chat about that. Our most important thing today is this is your show. We talk about what you want, but we've got a very special guest lined up. We've got the one and only Mr. Jeff Peters, which I'm sure many, many, many of you will know from TalkSport, also from back in the day on BBC Radio Leicester. So I want your views, your questions to Jeff Peters. What do you want to talk about with him? It is your show. This is the Fan Zone show. Get those questions coming in. Yes, good evening there. Thank you, everybody who is watching. We are live tonight all over the internet. We are on, of course, Facebook, the Facebook group, YouTube, Periscope, and Twitter. Get your views in just like Craig has done. Good evening, Craig. What would you like to ask Jeff Peters, Craig, when he's on here in just a second? Get your views in. Jason Clare, good evening to you. Julie is saying, missing the football. Julie? Did you see our Esports FA Cup quarterfinal on Saturday? Matty Bond, good evening to you, says, good evening, some light relief. Yes, that's what we want to do tonight, is give you some fun and some things to talk about. But it is your show. It's your questions. I've got almost nothing prepared for Jeff, except to let you know that Jeff was obviously part of the BBC crew back in what was, for many, a heyday of Leicester City. It certainly was for me back in the 90s, watching Leicester City get to playoff final after playoff final, onto League Cup finals and more. So get your views in. Hopefully, I'm going to bring Jeff straight in now. Jeff?
Hello.
Good evening, Jeff. How are you?
Yeah, I've just been getting on social media and just getting the message out there to everybody.
You've been doing that? Are you all right to chat now?
Yeah, we're all good. Listen, great to be part of this and have some memories of some good times and perhaps some not some good times watching and following Leicester City.
Yeah, Jeff, have you been a Leicester fan? Like, is it one of those things all your life? What's the backstory, briefly?
Well, as a kid, Liverpool were the first team that I latched onto. They were obviously the late 70s, early
80s. That's it from Jeff tonight. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Right. No, I'm only joking.
I mean, my dad always kind of, you know, God bless him, he always sort of said that whatever you want to do, whoever you want to follow, it's your choice. You'll find your own way in whatever you want to do. So I kind of latched onto Liverpool first, with the most successful team around at the time. You know, I had all the shirts and all that kind of thing. My first Leicester game, I was 7 years old. We played Manchester United in February 81. We won that 1-0. My dad took me down. So through the 80s, I was going down and watching Leicester, but Liverpool was still kind of my team. And then I got to about, I don't know, 1989, 1990. So I was sort of 16, 17. And I'd been getting more and more into Leicester City. And it got to the point that one day where I said, do you know what? If Leicester played Liverpool, I'd want Leicester to win. So I kind of...
You crossed over to the blue side.
Yeah, I think, you know, the way I describe it to people is that it's... I found my love for Leicester organically. I'm a Leicester boy, Leicester born and bred. So I kind of always followed them, and I went down and watched them on a regular basis. But it was Liverpool at first. So I haven't got any photos of me as a kid wearing one of those great Leicester shirts. Which, you know, would be nice to be able to put up and go, oh, look at me, here's me 7 years old wearing a Leicester shirt. So it took a bit of time to sort of find my way. And I know people say, oh, no, you don't change your football team. But I think when you're a kid, it's slightly different. And it was very different times back then. As I say, my dad never went, you will support Leicester or you'll be adopted. No, he never said that. He wasn't from Leicester originally. He moved to Leicester in the 60s. Went down the city, went down the Tigers. And you know, he did his best to get me to be a massive rugby fan and a massive football fan. I mean, football was and cricket were my two main things. So my love for Leicester was an organic thing. And I'm, you know, now people say, well, do you want to see Leicester do, do you want to see Liverpool do well? Because, you know, you followed them as a kid. I could not care about them whatsoever. Since I had that light bulb moment where I went, Leicester's my team. What am I doing? You know, I'm from Leicester, born in Leicester, live in Leicester. I support Leicester. And sort of as soon as that light bulb came on, it was Leicester all the way. And let's not forget, 89, 90, 91, that was crap Leicester City. This was not peak Leicester City. This was crap Leicester City. And then, well, it's been just the most incredible journey since then, hasn't it? Good and bad.
Well, the 90s were amazing. The 2000s, downward again. And then obviously upwards from 2010. Jeff, I can't even remember who the manager was in 1989, 90. Was it David? Oh, God.
Yeah, David Pleat.
I blanked that out.
Yeah. And Gordon Lee came in and obviously we stayed up. On that last day of the season, we beat Oxford. Was it West Brom went down? They lost against Bristol Rovers, I think it was. And what would I have been? I'd have been 18, I think, just turned 18. And I was doing doing media work, and I was at that game working. And I always remember that night being in the pub, being in the Fox Hunter in Enderby, actually. That's where I grew up. Not in the pub, although if my dad had his way, it probably would have been. I remember just being in the pub that night and just getting really tearful. I'm going, well, if there was any doubt about me being a Leicester fan, the fact that I'm so emotional about the fact that we stayed up, that was kind of, I know I'm pure Leicester at that point.
I've got a question for you. Craig says,
Craig.
He says, if the season doesn't finish, do you think Liverpool should win the league and Leicester finish in third? Or do you think it should be restarted? And no one wins.
The season's definitely got to be finished at some point, whether it's behind closed doors, which is not ideal. I don't want that to happen. But if it means that we can get it. I know Craig, by the way, top bloke, top man, Craig. The season's got to be finished. Listen, even if it means we have a disastrous end to the season, and finish. Oh, my God, we finished fifth or sixth in the Premier League. Oh, God, what a terrible season that would be. In the context of the season, it would be bad. But I think that the season's got to be finished. I think we will finish in the top four, but we've got to get it done. If it means delaying next season, that's fine. But and making changes to the league next season. But I think we have to, Premier League, all the leagues, they have to be finished.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Some sports don't quite agree. I think some sports have cancelled the season. I know the BBL has cancelled it, but I think most fans would agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of, at this moment in time, in the world that we are living in, I kind of really don't care about anything, you know, massively else. I mean, football is a huge irrelevance at the moment. We want it back because we love football and it gives us a great distraction from the other things we've got in life. Obviously, for me, it's part of my work. We talk sport, but at this moment in time, football is it's just great to kind of talk about it with you.
I think that's what fans want. I mean, it is very serious out there, and we hope everybody's taking care and being careful and staying in. But Jeff, it is we've heard from fans that they would like 20 minutes, half hour of light relief, like you say, and talk about the old times. I'm going to bring in Tom, who's a regular with us on our Monday Night Fan Zone. Tom, I'm sure he'd like to say hello to Jeff.
Jeff, how are you doing, well, mate?
Hi, Tom.
Tom, have you got a question for Jeff?
Yeah, do you want, in all the time of following Leicester as a journalist and supporter, who would say be your top player for the club?
Well, Steve Walsh for me, because of the length of service and the fact he was such a warrior and he dragged us over lines in games. And he was also, he was one of those players that you knew that he was the kind of player you'd want in the trenches with you, because absolute warrior, captain fantastic. Yeah, he had his downsides as well, you know, getting sent off and what have you, and got in all sorts of scrapes and that kind of thing. But Walshy for me. However, I have to say, in recent times, I am very much in the I love Jamie Vardy camp. So for me, Jamie could do whatever he wants. I absolutely love Jamie Vardy, and perhaps in time Vardy will usurp Walsh as my favourite all-time player, but they're pretty close at the moment, but I think Walshy just takes it at the moment.
Jeff, can I ask you, do you think, I've said it a few times, do you think we lack a bit of Walshy in the current team? If you know what I mean.
What?
A bit of that dragging us over the line, a bit of that just, come on, lads, I'm going to show, we're going to do it this way.
Do you have many players like that in any team in the Premier League these days? I don't think there are many players that are necessarily really like that. I mean, you look back to the season we won the Premier League, people like Robert Huth, you know, proper no-nonsense centre-half. Maybe at times we haven't got a little bit of that devilment in us that we had before. I think devilment's probably a good word to describe it. Maybe we haven't got that, but we've got so many other things in the team, so many other qualities. And obviously the last sort of 2 or 3 months have been not desperately enjoyable to watch. But that first half of the season, best football, quality football that, you know, certainly my generation I've ever seen.
Talking of Jamie Vardy, come on, that's my line to bring in Chappers.
Oh, that's a cheap plug, that is.
I know it is, Chappers, but...
Phil, have you seen the numbers on my fingers at all?
Jeff, on Saturday, Jeff, I played Chappers at FIFA 20. We thought we'd try and keep the season alive. So we did a live stream of Leicester against Chelsea. Chappers was Leicester and he beat me as Chelsea. But obviously, I'll let him win.
You know what the score was, Jeff? Can you see that? You know what the score was? Do I need to say it out loud? Or?
Four, two.
Jeff, bringing back to the 90s, obviously, when you were at Radio Leicester.
Yeah, I was there full-time 1992 to 1996. So I was at the first three of the playoff finals, but I'd already made a decision to leave in the summer of 96 to go and work, to give up a job commentating on Leicester City, go and be an £80 a week holiday rep in Ibiza, which was, you can imagine, my mum's... when I went home and told my mum and dad, and they go, so you... Like my dad was just kind of, you do whatever you want to do, because that was just the way he was. He was just quite happy to do whatever made me happy, you know, which is a great attitude to have. But with my mum was kind of, you've got a great job. You work for the BBC. You've got a job for life. You're coming to the city and blah, blah, blah. And I just thought, I was 23. I thought, I got into it very young. I thought, I've got to go and do something else. So I actually missed the 96 final because I was in Ibiza. But I was there for those first three playoff finals. I actually missed the 97 League Cup final because I was DJing in Egypt. I'd gone to sort of do some randomly different things. But I got back in time and watched the replay at Hillsborough. And there was a guy next to me and his kid. And his kid was probably only, I don't know, 8 years old. And I looked at the dad and I looked at the boy and we were celebrating. We'd won like a proper trophy. And I said to this 8-year-old kid, I said, enjoy this because this will be the highlight of being a Leicester City fan for the rest of your life. So really enjoy it. Obviously, 2 years later, we were back against Tottenham and lost. The year after that, we beat Tranmere. And then, obviously, 2015, 2016, 2017, just brilliantly crazy times.
Jeff, David Speedy definitely dived, didn't he, in 1991?
92. Oh, Blackburn.
92.
he did. And then, obviously, we went and signed him. And it was fantastic for us for that 12 months. And was obviously suspended for the final against Derby. The first 2 years at Wembley, I was pitch side. So I was doing all the post-match interviews, which was very difficult because, obviously, we'd lost. First one against Blackburn, no one expected us to be there because we overachieved that season. But then against Swindon, getting back from 3-0 down to 3-3 was just an absolute... That moment where... It was Steve Thompson, wasn't it, who got the third goal. I could still get goosebumps just thinking about it. And then, obviously, another dodgy penalty. But then in 94, I'd been promoted and I ended up commentating with Neville Folger, who some of the older people will remember. Absolute legend, top bloke. And Gary Mills was summarising. He was the club captain, and he was injured. He led out the team that day, I think. And then he sat with me and Nev, and he was doing all the analysis. And then when Walsh's second, well, when the winning goal went in, he jumped up. He got Neville Folger in a headlock, and he was going, whoa, Walshy, like that. And if you ever listen back to the commentary, you can hear that in the background. Just so for many, many years when people say, what's your favourite Leicester moment? So, well, 21 years old, commentating on my local team, the team I support, beating Derby County to get promoted to what was the Premiership at the time. And then, obviously, 2015, 2016.
But, Jeff, what was your take on Walshy being in the number 9 shirt that day?
What was Walshy being? What was
your take on Walshy being given the number 9 shirt? Was you sort of like, what's going on? Or because it's kind of back in the day sort of thing. I don't really remember it. That's as far as I can sort of remember is the Vicky Park sort of parade after that. But I don't really remember the game itself.
Well, he played up front on a. On a number of occasions, and he looked very good in that position as well. And if you look at the two teams that day, Leicester and Derby, Derby had the individual quality in that Derby. So John Harkes, Tommy Johnson, Paul Kitson. They had some really good foot. I think Paul Simpson was playing there. They had some really talented individual players. But and the Leicester side, fairly workmanlike with your. Jimmy Willis, Ormondroyd, did Colin Gibson play as well? I think he might. It was a good team, but man for man, Derby had far the better team. But they had the players, but we had the team that day. And Walshy just, getting in there. And I mean, if Ormondroyd had scored that goal, it would have just been so. The narrative afterwards would have been so different, but it was Walshy. It was, it was our man. It was the captain. Fantastic. Of course, Walshy wasn't captain that day. It was Simon Grayson.
That's right. Yeah.
When he went up to collect the trophy, someone gave him a Leicester City beanie hat, not beanie hat, this really sort of naff kind of hat. I was working with Simon last season. I've known Simon, 25-30 years. And he said he loved that day. Obviously, it's his cross from the right, which led to Ormondroyd's header, which was saved, and then Walshy scored. He said that day, all the photos he's got, like post-match, him with the trophy, just wearing this really awful hat. He can't stand that, but it was a great. Was it you? Was it you that gave it to me?
I've got one of those. That's my favourite. So it was a beanie hat, wasn't it? But yeah.
Did you two both go to that game?
I was there.
Yeah.
Tom, you're not quite old enough, are you, for those games?
No. I watched on the telly, but yeah, I was just out of bracket. Mine was the Crystal Palace Claridge Schinner.
The 96.
Spider
just started going down. I had it coming on the pitch.
I was
thinking, what's
I was it was on ITV, and in Ibiza they didn't have the it wasn't shown on TV anywhere. So I ended up listening to about 40, 50 minutes of it down the phone. Radio Leicester, I don't know whether I reversed the charges or whether they rang me, I don't know. But I was in the hotel reception and I was listening to the commentary down the phone. And I think it might have been Andrew James, or was it John Sinclair? It might have been Andrew. I can't remember who was commentating, but Neville was there. And I was just listening to it down the phone. And I'd only been out there about a week, 10 days. And I'd been sort of very well behaved. And then that night, I just went out and got very drunk, and I got my first rollicking, let's say, from my boss for getting drunk and celebrating. But that was a brilliant moment, that it stopped in time when obviously Claridge put it in, and if Leicester had not got promoted, Martin O'Neill would have been fired. They would have got rid of him. There was talk of, moving him on. And obviously on those little small moments, things can change. And, we've just had some brilliant moments, good and bad. You look in the 90s, you look at the Blackburn game with the speedy penalty. Let's not forget, Leicester actually saved a penalty Carl Muggleton saved.
Muggo did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Was it Mike from Mike Newell, wasn't it? And then obviously, you know, 93 was just an incredible, dramatic game with a horrible finish. And then 94 with a late goal to win it. 96 with a late goal to win it. And then an extra time goal, obviously, in the 97 League Cup final. Well, obviously, we equalised late in the... I actually watched the 97 League Cup final in a hotel room in Cairo, overlooking the River Nile. And in my hotel, they didn't have the stream of the game, so I had to go the other side of Cairo. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Cairo. I mean, this is 1997. Going from one side of the city to the other, there's sort of like four lanes of traffic, and there's about seven lanes of cars, and they're all weaving in and out of each other. And it was a bit of a white knuckle ride to get to the other side of Cairo, to the hotel, where another DJ who was working for the same company, and I went and watched it in his hotel. And of course, we lost a late goal in 99 against 10-man Spurs. So there was so many elements of great drama in all those 90s finals.
I mean, Jeff, bring it right back to almost the present day, 2015. What was it like working in the media from your side in the Premier League winning season?
Rubbish. I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed to do a job that I absolutely love. I get paid to watch football, talk about football. It's just an absolute, you know, joy to do something like that. And then when you're going through a season like that, as the season was progressing, like, wow, this is a good season. And I'm going, well, yeah, let's enjoy this. Let's see where this takes us. Thinking, given that we nearly got relegated the previous season, if we finish in the top 10, even looking sort of November, December time, going, yeah, we're going well, but we won't be able to sustain it. We won't be able to keep it going, but this is brilliant. And reporting on it. And then I started doing some work for the club as well, for their own good DVD. That,
yeah. It's mad, isn't it? I can't believe it happened, you know?
Yeah. Just and then in sort of the second half of the season, I was doing more stuff for the club. Obviously, we went on to win it, which was mind-blowing. And then on the day of the Everton match, I was hosting the club's media coverage. So launching the show at whatever. I mean, we got there sort of like 5 hours before kickoff. It was a really, really long day. And then there was the game. And then being on the pitch, I was 10 yards away from where they lifted the trophy. Right. And, you know, if they'd said to me that week, we want you to host this coverage and we want you on the pitch afterwards, describing all the action when Wes lifted the trophy and going on the lap of honour for an hour, interviewing all the players, do you want to do that? And if you do, it's going to cost you £1,000. Now, if they'd said that to me, if they'd said that to me, I would have said, do you want cash? Do you want check?
Yeah, we'd have all done it.
But they were actually paying me to, not that kind of money, obviously, it was £150 or something, but it was one of those moments that was just, you're just standing there, you're looking around the whole stadium. Mm. Obviously, before the game, when Andrea Bocelli was saying, just... that was insane. And then afterwards, and I've got little photos of me, and I can see myself just 10 yards away from where almost, you know, one of the best seats in the house. So, so lucky to be able to do something like that. Always incredibly grateful. And pre-season, went to Los Angeles, and I went with the team. We flew with the team. Had so many surreal, everything about that season was surreal. Playing rock, paper, scissors with Christian Fuchs on the plane over there, commentating with Emery, you know, on the PSG game. That's interviewing Will Ferrell. I got to interview, not only got to interview Will, the great Will Ferrell, Anchorman, Elf, etc. But I'm asking him about Leicester City, going, what do you know about Leicester City? And he starts talking about the Great Escape, the amazing story of how they stayed up, and then being the Hollywood Cinderella team that suddenly beat everybody to win the Premier League. He knew all about it.
Yeah.
And I stood there interviewing him. I'm in my head, I'm going, this is Will Ferrell, and I'm talking to him about Leicester City, who have won the Premier League. It was insane, crazy, surreal, any description that you want, but bloody brilliant. And I will never tire of thinking about it and talking. Whatever happened from here on in. And of course, you know, Champions League quarterfinals the next season, which was just you know, way beyond, you know, the majority of our expectations. Even if we end up being average in a few years or dropping down to the championship or whatever happens, I hope that doesn't happen.
I don't think so.
We have got that fixed moment in time where, obviously, we don't want to end up like Forest, Notts Forest. We don't want to end up like Notts Forest where all they go on about is 79, 80, and that's it. But for us, those memories, all the people, all the Leicester fans watching, that was just... But I kind of feel for kids. I feel for kids who are...
Not seen it, yeah, didn't experience it.
All they've seen probably is winning the championship with 102 points, having the great escape season, beating Man U 5-3 along the way.
Oh, yeah.
The Premier League, getting into the quarterfinals of the Champions League, probably getting into the Champions League again whenever this season finishes. So their kids will kind of go, this is the norm.
My son. That's my son in a nutshell, mate. He's 7 years old, and that's what he thinks. He thinks Leicester are like one of the best teams in the Premier League, one of the best out of them all. So
I mean,
imagine that. Can you imagine that growing up?
Yeah,
don't make sense.
I mean, Jeff, just going back to that season when we won the league, you know, there was a couple of moments for me which stood out. For me, thinking we'd actually going to do it was Palace away. After that game, I was at Sellers Park when Mara scored and we won 1-0 and we clinched on towards the end. I remember them hitting the crossbar with that 30 seconds to go and I thought, we can do this now. Yeah. But I think the commentary moment of the season was actually self-commentating and it was the Vardy goal against Liverpool. That commentary sticks in my mind, mate, from that. You commentary of that goal, mate, it was second to none for me. That's one part of the season I remember was your commentary of the Vardy goal with the volley over the top. I think it was for Leicester City TV. I think it might have been. You might have been commentating on for that game. But that's one goal that sticks out. Is there anything that you'd say sticks out for you as your favourite goal that season? Or that up there with it?
Oh, I mean that was the goal of the season. My commentary. I think I'm better as a host and as a reporter rather than a commentator. That's not my. It's not my best skill, if you like. And when I hear all the other commentators and see all the you know who commentated on that goal, they all went mental. I didn't downplay it, but when I listened back to it, and the club, whenever they tweet that or put that video out, they always use my bit of commentary because I was working for them, and I always think I almost undersold it a little bit.
It didn't need too much commentary over it, Jeff, did it, in a way?
No. Well, it was... Well, it's hitting hope, wasn't it, really? I mean, it's
just... Oh, man, I remember that ball coming towards us, man. I was sat there and it was just... What a goal.
You know, still to be able to do that and score from there. But he was just on fire that season. Yeah. And it was almost everything he touched turned to gold. And, you know, you look at so many of the other players... you know, the back five that with the keeper, they cost £7 million for that back five that won the Premier League. And sort of everything, I think in this day and age with all this, with VAR, we might not have got away with a bit of, you know, Robert Huth. We might not have all, and you know, shirt pulling.
I think
VAR might have changed a few things. But whenever I go around the world and people ask me, you know, Americans or Canadians, Australians, whatever, and they ask about that season, what happened? You just go, well, God, the stars aligned, everything fell into place. It was the perfect storm with Pearson's team and mentality, Ranieri's sprinkle of
magic,
you know, magic, and you know that extra level of tactical genius, and other teams not being at the level that they would expect that they would be. Everything just fell into place, and you can go back through that season and look at so many moments, whether it's Leo Ojoa scoring against Norwich in the 89th minute when there was the earthquake. Yeah.
The Villa comeback with that was
absolutely 2-0 down to win, you know, win 3-2. Nathan Dyer is almost one of those you know, players that you forget about that got a Premier League medal during that season. I mean, even like Gürkan Inler got a medal, but obviously he didn't really do much. But you know the 11, if you like, what I call, you know, the 11, which obviously is Schmeichel, Simpson, Morgan, Huth, Fuchs, Drinkwater, Brighton, Mahrez, Okazaki, Vardy. That is, for me, is the what I would say is the main 11. That's the one. I don't know if other people agree with me on that, but for me, that was kind of the 11. Do you know how many games they all started together, that 11 started in that season?
I would guess over 25.
Yeah, it's got to be.
20?
It's got to be. All of them, nearly.
Tom?
I'd just say it's going to be in the 20s. I think if you look at that season, he was very consistent about putting the same team out. I think the only odd change he would make, and that would be bringing in Leonardo Joao occasionally instead of Okazaki. Well, so it's got to be about 25, 30 odd.
Yeah.
I think off the top of my head, it's about 13.
What? Oh, is that right?
Wow.
Oh.
They didn't, that 11 didn't start as an 11 until, I think it was the November or it might have even been the December.
The Christmas
run. Can I go that he played the latter right back at the beginning of the season and played Jeffrey Slup as the left back at the beginning of the season, I think, if I'm right.
Yeah, Dalac went out on loan, didn't he, Dalac, at that
point? Yeah, he went out second half of the season, he went to Middlesbrough and then he won promotion, runners up in the Championship, and they played early on the Everton game, they played early on the Saturday. He didn't play for much of the celebrations, he drove back down to Leicester. He would get his medal. He was asked by Leicester to come back and be there. And bless him, he invited me around to his house to do an interview not long afterwards, and he was just like holding up both his medals.
That's mad.
What a crazy season, and what a lovely guy. And I told him, he knew I used to see him in, he used to go to the same gym as me, and he knew I was a massive Leicester fan. And he said, would you like one of my shirts from the season? I was like, yes, that would be it. Do you want me to sign it? Oh, yes. really lovely guy, Richie Dalac.
Jeff, do you know where he is now? He did break his leg, didn't he, at Villa, I think. Had a nasty injury. And then I think I last saw him over in Australia.
Was in Australia. I don't know whether he's still there. I don't know whether he's maybe back in Belgium now. But certainly he... He had a spell playing in Australia. Just a really good guy. One day at the gym, I try not to get too close to footballers because I think it's good to have like a professional distance and that kind of thing. But some people just are like really genuinely nice. And I'd been and had a workout in the gym, and his son or his daughter was playing tennis, and he was waiting around for that to finish. And I just saw him and said, "Oh, hello, how are you?" And he said, "Oh, I'm just waiting, blah, blah, blah." I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm probably just going to get some food or whatever." He said, "No, do you want a pint?" And I was like, "Oh, okay." So he went and got me, I'd ordered some food, and he went and got me a pint, and we just sat down and just talking about, not just football, but talking about parenting and kids playing sport and getting them into that kind of vein of form. And, you know, because you kind of think like modern day football, the old school footballers, you can actually go out and have a pint with them. Neil Lennon bought me my first ever pint of Guinness. I'd had nights out with various people. Pontus Camar, I mean, bless him, Pontus again.
Pontus is lovely.
Top guys. And we used to go out. Now, he's still a very good looking guy now, Pontus. But in the mid 90s, you know, him being in the Ritzy in town, or being at the Meridian Bar and Grill, he was just, and being a footballer, I was kind of his wingman the players of that generation, you Steve Walsh, Mac Elliott, Jerry Taggart, Ewan Roberts, these people, whenever I see them now, Simon Grayson, it is like greeting old friends. Great guys. But modern footballers, you don't tend to get as close to them. You stuff like home phone numbers for people and what have you. But nowadays it's a bit more the players are a bit more protected by agents because they all think journalists, we're scum, you know, we're going to be trying to do this story on them. I'm not that kind of journalist. I'm a football reporter that talks about games. That's pretty much what I do. But some of the current, you know, over the past few years, it's been nice. You know, when I see them, I saw Danny Simpson the other day, and he comes over and says hello, and it's always very nice. You know, I mean, of the current players, people like Christian Fuchs. Genuinely, genuinely lovely people.
Absolutely.
Just one question I was going to ask you. You've seen a lot of great footballers, world-class footballers. I mean, I Leicester fan, we haven't seen the world-class all the time. One player that came to us for one season for me, and I'll always say he's the best footballer I've ever seen, because he Esteban. Could pick a pass out. Esteban Cambiaso. What was your opinion on him as it for the club for the one season that he actually came here? Do you think he's probably up there as the only world-class player to ever grace that pitch? Bar the late Keith Weller, who was, I didn't get to see play, but from the videos, he was another player that was a fantastic footballer.
I mean, Cambiaso was a dream to watch. I think he could be a little bit, he wasn't massively popular in the dressing room all the time. You know, he was a good, I mean, he's no Junior Lewis. You know, he's no.
Marshall.
Obviously, yeah. Hey, do not put Junior Lewis and Ian Marshall in the same. Marshall had some skills.
Yeah. No. Lee Marshall, not Ian. Lee.
Ian Marshall, okay. Yeah. You know, when you look back and you see we had some absolute playing for us. You know, if you look, say, like before the Villa game, everybody's, you know, the fans are in absolute meltdown because we've not played good football for 2 months. We're sitting third in the Premier League.
Yeah.
We got the League Cup semi-final, first semi-final in 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
Still in the FA Cup. Still in the FA Cup. And fans are losing their minds and going apoplectic and going mad. And I look back and think, do you not remember when we were in League One?
Do you remember
when Luigi Glombard was... you not remember the two Hungarians? What was it? Zoko Laka.
When
you look back, there's an article on the Mercury website about players who played for us once and once only. I forgot Rufus Brevett played for us for one game. I was at Stoke doing a match last season or season before last. Jason Wilcox was in there, who obviously, you know, Blackburn and played for England. And, you know, don't know the guy at all, away from football. And I saw him, and he was doing some media work. And I was looking at him going, I think he might have played for us at some point. I couldn't remember. And I Googled it, and he played 15, 20 times for us. But we got through so many players, particularly in that sort of 2004, 2008. Was it David?
Barry Hales.
Played in that game at Stoke. I mean, we all dream of a team of Barry Hales, obviously. you can look at players. I mean, Junior Lewis is one that we always generally give a kicking to.
Yeah,
he was actually a really nice bloke. But it's funny, his home debut. I think he made his debut away at Southampton. Someone will correct me. And his home debut was against Chelsea, and it was at the beginning of February. 2001, I think. And I flew to America the next day to see a good mate of mine, Dave from Hinckley, who massive follows the Foxes. And we were having a beer the night that I got there. And he was going, we'd beat Chelsea, I think, 2-0 on the Saturday. And he was going, well, tell us about, who's this Junior Lewis, you know, who's cost 15 grand? I said, you would not believe this player. Junior Lewis was spraying through balls in between the likes of probably Desai. He was knocking the ball around. He looked like, how was he playing at Gillingham? And how have we only paid 15 grand for him? This guy is brilliant. He's absolutely, this guy is incredible. Well, and then that was it for him. And then he just reported he had one just incredible game. But just going back to your point about Cambiaso, a real joy to see him play this, but he kind of gets a little bit forgotten with everything which happened the following season. I wouldn't have him in my top 20, top 25 all-time favourite Leicester players, but an incredible talent. And look what he won in the game. I think is he the most decorated Argentinian player of all time? That goal against Man United. That will always stand out. And, you know, listen, any footballer who's got a bald head.
Jeff, going back onto the Premier League season, Danny Drinkwater, a player that couldn't put a foot wrong, made it into the England team for the Euros as well. What's happened to him at the minute?
Well, he left Leicester.
Oh, yeah, I know, but
it's
your take, basically.
I thought it was it was a bit of a strange move by Chelsea. I think they wanted to get more homegrown players in the squad, and he'd obviously had an insane season in the Premier League in 15-16, and obviously was part of the squad that had got to the Champions League quarterfinals. And maybe they thought, or maybe he thought that him and N'Golo Kanté could bring themselves together and just recreate some of that magic. But he dropped down the pecking order at Chelsea. He wasn't playing. He'd gone off on loan, gone to Burnley, gone to Aston Villa. He's had various off-field issues as well. And he was, I always remember Nigel Pearson saying on a number of occasions that he could be difficult, not in a nasty way difficult, but he could be tricky to manage.
Unapproachable. I've heard that before.
Yeah. I mean, I had various dealings with him. You know, he wasn't the kind of person who was massively warm and engaging and whatever, but he wasn't the opposite to that. He wasn't just snarly and, you know, and difficult. And he wasn't like that. He just was kind of a bit, I think, in his own world at times. And I know two or three of the players who know him very well. And they say that he's a really good lad, but he's lost his way. I hope he can, I hope he can try and find some peace and happiness in his football life, and I don't know about his personal life, but I just hope that he finds that, because he was for us for the Championship season.
Yeah,
he didn't. He was a bit in and out in the Great Escape season, but then it just clicked. He just clicked. But then they all clicked in that season, didn't they? Even you bring in your Nathan Bryant and your Schlupps and your Delats and your Andy King and Ojoa and all the sort of, I hate to call them bit part players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean in that.
Yeah.
They all had those roles to play in that season. And what a joyous campaign. I hope Danny gets himself sorted out.
Jeff, thanks. I'm going to wrap it up now, guys. That's been fantastic having you on.
I could be here all week. So I do apologise. Can I apologise to Chappie and to Tom, and obviously to you as well, that I've just done so much talking here?
No, that's the idea.
That's what we got you on for, Jeff. Us three idiots are on every week, so we want your views.
I've got no work on at the moment because the football season is as it is, or not as it is. I'm a DJ as well, so all the bars and clubs are shut.
Yeah, oh gosh. I've
got absolutely no work on for the next 2 or 3 months. It's a really horribly draining time for so many people at the moment. So the fact that you've allowed me to come and...
Jeff, does this mean you're joining Leicester Fan TV on the content team?
Yes, there you go.
Are you joining us?
If your people speak to my people,
come to the dark side.
I haven't got people. I've never had an agent. I'm not famous or anything like that.
I did.
Chappers, don't get going on that story.
We won't talk about that now.
Well, you had a blue tick on Twitter before I did. You were verified on. Not that means anything. I mean, it doesn't. It's blue. And I'll be honest with you, I was slightly bitter that you had one and I didn't at the time. This guy got a blue tick on Twitter. But hey, listen.
Well, Jeff, hopefully you will join us again one evening and give us... There's so much more we could talk about, like the guys were saying. So it's been lovely having you on, Jeff. Thank you so much for joining us. And please do come on again. I'll be pestering you for another chat another week.
Yeah, cheers, Jeff.
It's probably better if you just wait and see what all your many, many thousands of listeners and viewers, they might go, we've heard enough. We don't want any more.
You can see some of the comments here. Simon says, great show. Mick Padgett saying, same time next week, Jeff. And Matty Bond saying, thanks, Jeff. Much enjoyable. So everybody's loved it, Jeff. It's been great having you on.
Can I just say that in the background, I don't know if people see, but just...
I was about to ask you about that. Yeah.
That's me and Muzzy, is it, from about 90s. There's Heskey from 95, Camarks up there. And then just up here, there's me from in 1997. There's some Leicester City videos.
This is look at them.
Videos, Jeff?
Yeah.
Do they still work?
You got a video player?
I have, actually, but I never use it. Actually, I better just move around because I don't know what other videos are up there. So probably the best time for to call it quits. But
Jeff, what's your prized possession, Jeff? Leicester memorabilia. What's your prized possession?
Oh,
it's got to be something. Come on.
And it sounds naff. Just the memories of that season. You know, I've got a box full of sort of
same.
From the title winning season and from the Champions League, all the various programs, team sheets, even the half and half scarves. Not I would not go out and wear a half and half scarf, but you know the kind of
definitely.
Yeah, I'm talking about the European games.
Yes, yeah. No, I've got one of them. I've got a Leicester Rouge one.
Not the domestic games, but I think the European games.
Yeah,
but by the way, half and half scarves. I understand it. I'm not particularly a fan of it, but I understand if you're going to, you're a tourist and, you know, if I went to see a Major League Baseball game and there was a half and half or whatever it was, I might buy that as a memento of being in America and being at the game. But the half and half scarves, so with sort of Bruges and Copenhagen and Porto and Sevilla and Atletico Madrid. So I've got those kind of things. So I've got a box of programs, team sheets, badges. There's that Salt and Vardy crisps or whatever.
Yeah, we've got them.
I've still got them.
You know, so all that I've got this great box full of memories that my that one day when I go, I will probably hand on to my nephew who is 10 years old and he's in the Leicester City Academy.
Oh wow.
And he's a goalkeeper and I'm hoping that maybe one day he will be one day you guys in about 15 years when you're still doing this show. you'll be talking about him being such a great goalkeeper for Leicester City. I don't think there's one particular thing that I've got which I would say is more important than anything else. Just everything from that season, whether it's a photo or a shirt or a programme, it's just all part of that kind of jigsaw of magnificence that year.
So I mean, Phil, you know what? Because we're all happy about that season still, we all remember it so well. I think we should do a show where maybe we all watch this on our PCs and stuff, and we just do a watch along talking about it as it goes.
I'd love to do that, chappers. We'd probably get done for copyright, though.
No, I mean,
everybody.
Only us are watching it, and we're talking about it like we are now.
It sounds a great idea, Lee.
It's not like Chappie to copy anybody else, is it? I'm only joking, mate.
Right, guys, this is it. It's nice, Jeff, that you've admitted that you're just as sad as every other Leicester fan and you've got a box full of stuff like we all have, that all the other halves are saying, why have you got that rubbish? Throw it out. Mine's in my shed and under a table somewhere where the missus doesn't know where it is. We've all got one, and it's nice to know you've got one as well, Jeff.
I'm as sad as it gets with my hands up.
Right, guys, thanks everyone for joining. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Chappers.
Yeah, Jeff. Thanks, mate.
We'll see you all soon. I'm going to let the guys go one by one. Say cheerio to Jeff. Thanks, Chappers.
No, cool. Cheers.
And thanks to Tom. Thanks, of course, to everybody for all your comments. Tried to get as many comments on as we could do, but it was just absolutely brilliant to hear Jeff have his say. Thanks, as ever, to all our pals at the sponsors, as ever. You know who they are now. Most of all, thanks to you guys. If you've been watching this on YouTube, please subscribe to what we do. If you're watching us on Facebook, either the group or the page, please give us a like. Feel free to share this. And if you're watching over on Twitter and Periscope, go on. Do us a favour, give us a retweet, give us a like. Don't forget, everybody, go and follow Mr. Jeff Peters. It's at Mr. Jeff Peters on Twitter and Facebook, and give him a like wherever you are. My name's Phil. This has been the Leicester Fan Zone Show. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again later this week with more fun and banter. Keep safe.